What we're reading today is a prayer from Jesus. Jesus had just told his disciples that there's a day coming soon where all the disciples will scatter, a day that they will leave him alone. Of course, Jesus is talking about the cross. He's headed to the cross very soon. And this is an enormously powerful and great prayer before the cross. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We're looking at all of the verses 1 through 26. This is his whole prayer. So John 17. You're welcome to take your own Bible if you have one with you. Open up the app on your smartphone. We will also have the words on screen. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for showing us your will and your ways in your word. Lord, we know that this is it. We're not to add anything. We're not to take anything away. But this here that we hold in our hands, this is your word, your truth. Guide us in it. In Jesus' name, amen. John 17. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. What a prayer. And we could probably preach on this one prayer over a period of 6 months. I mean, we have all kinds of stuff in here. We have a clear picture of Jesus' divinity, of the relationship between the Father and the Son, them being one together. We have the eternal plan of salvation here too that we could talk about, having a vertical relationship that leads to horizontal. We must remember here in the church, we are under the Good Shepherd. We're doing this whole thing with Jesus' purpose, united in mission and purpose to be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. Now, there are some really good organizations out there, and these organizations do some good things. I looked up the Lions Club. Their purpose is to empower volunteers to serve their communities, meet humanitarian needs, encourage peace. And there's the Kiwanis Club and their purpose. Again, good things. They are to serve the children of the world, forming enduring friendships to render altruistic service and to build better communities. Well, what is our mission and purpose, according to Jesus, here in this passage? It's a beacon, drawing others to faith too. That's the picture that Jesus is trying to get across here. When our shared faith brings us together, it becomes a beacon drawing others to faith too. Our unity, as Jesus says, must be complete. And when brought to completion, our unity must be shown to the world so that more and more people will see the glory of Jesus on display in us and come to the life-saving faith they need in Jesus. Now, as we look to Jesus to lead our unity to completion, I have six things for us to consider. Six things for us to consider. And if you'd like to follow along and fill in the blanks, I follow along. And for the kids, I took some of the key words from this passage and I made a word search. You guys are welcome to check that out also. Six things to consider. Six, and we'll start with number one. Unity isn't compromising on the truth. Unity isn't compromising on truth. We are not called to be a congregation that holds together varying ideas about who God is and who Jesus is. If we had a slogan, you might say, "Your way, my way, no way." That's not the church. If all of us just come with our own ideas about who Jesus is and who God is, that's a very me of church, a very self-centered picture. And not Jesus-centered. When we're faced with tough theological issues, when false teachers come questioning the validity of the Word of God, we might want to be nice. Right? We're from the Midwest. We might want to be nice. we might want to hold hands like we're together, but we're not. It's a false unity. I want to give you an example of something that's false. So, my youngest son and I, we have almost identical putters. Colors aside, he's got black and white. I've got red and white, but there is a key and crucial difference here. One of these putters has a real super stroke putter grip. The other one, it's a fake. It's a knockoff. You can get this one for half of the price. It's not real. This is a real super stroke. This isn't. Now, from the outside, it looks good, right? But it's not the real deal. It's the same way with the church. By human design and human cunning, we could try to make the church look united from the outside. But if we're divided on who Jesus is and divided on who God is, we are no church. This leads us to number two, being grounded in biblical truth. Unity is being grounded in biblical truth. There should be no compromise when the gospel is at stake. And we must affirm together the essentials of the faith. What are they? What are the essentials? Well, later on you'll hear a good number of those essentials. As we partake in the Lord's Supper, we're going to have the Apostles' Creed together. So look forward to that. Those are essentials of the faith. And we could also start by asking some good questions. And I've used some of these questions. As I meet people, they tell me that they're Christian, but as we discuss things, it really doesn't seem like they're focused on the truth of Jesus. So these are some good questions for us to ask and good questions for us to consider. I might ask, well, what do you think about Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That gets to the heart of the matter. Are the Father and Son one, as Jesus proclaims here? To you or not? Or another good question that comes from this text, is Jesus God? If their answer is no, we're not in unity with them. Or how about original sin? Does that exist? Is there original sin? That's another one of those key questions. Or maybe you could just ask simply, how are we saved? If they say, by my good works, then you know that you are not united to them. Because we know that it's by the grace of Jesus, the Son of God, who came and died for us so that we might have eternal life. And this one, I think, is also important in this day and age, this last one. And this is one that I've run into several times. Is Jesus the only way to salvation? Another great question that we can ask. Yes. The Word tells us that Jesus is the only way. Number three. Unity isn't appeasing everyone's personal concerns. Unity isn't appeasing everyone's personal concerns. You know, here at First Reformed Church, as a church, it's not like going out to eat. Maybe one of you says, hey, let's go get Chinese. And the other person says, Chinese? I don't like Chinese. I want a burger. When I go out to eat, I have a burger every time. So what do you do? Well, I got another slogan that we can put together here. I want burgers. Here at First Reformed Church, we are not to be motivated by our own desires, by our own selfish will, pushing our own personal agendas. Really, that is ingratitude. That is rebellion against God. By grace, we have been saved. By grace, we have been cleansed, and we have new life. We've been given a new heart. Yet, church just the way we like it, grumbling and complaining, that is ingratitude towards God. And that leads us to number four. Unity is doing what concerns God. Unity is doing what concerns God. We're not called here to please everyone. Rather, we're here to please Christ, who is our shepherd. We're talking about advancing his kingdom and righteousness. We're talking about spreading the gospel good news. When we talk about being a scrappy church, determined, persistent, unwavering about our will, but we're talking about his will be done. Making disciples, doing that, focusing on that. And one thing that we can do is we can look at all of our ministries, look at all of the busyness that we involve ourselves in here at First Reformed Church, and we can ask the question, is what we're doing focused on making disciples? Is it answering the call that we have been given in Matthew 28 to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And if not, we probably need to change what we're doing. Because if it's not focused on making disciples, what are we doing it for? Again, Jesus' picture is that our unity be complete and that our unity is shown to the world, that more and more will come to faith. Number five, unity isn't just loving those who love us. Unity isn't just loving those who love us. We're not just called to a mutual exchange. You love me, I love you back, we're a happy family, part of the same clique, part of the same in-group, same family group, same club, sure. It's comfortable, it's easy, and it's affirming to love those who love you, but it can also create walls and divisions, and us and them. Rather, we're going to head to number six now. Jesus calls us to this. Unity is loving others as ourselves. Unity is loving others as ourselves. We are called to excel more in love, devoted to one another, having that strong vertical relationship and then a strong horizontal relationship. Not with just some of the people here, but with all of the people here, all of the brothers and sisters that God has called you to be with here at First Reformed Church. Now, coming up, we've got one of those new scrappy church things that we're going to try. We're going to try doing Name Tag Sunday, the first of the month, every month. And we're going to invite people that are in leadership and other things to maybe wear name tags on a more regular basis. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, I hate name tags. Right? Like, I don't want to wear a name tag. Do you know everybody's name here? If the answer is no, one way that you can start loving others is by letting them know your name so that you can learn each other's names. This would be a great start to loving others. Just actually knowing everybody else. There's a lot of different things that we can do to love each other more. I mean, the whole idea here is that we love each other so much that no one from outside of this church would ever hear a bad word about somebody else here from your lips. So, this morning, stand firm. And stand firm with one mind. Which mind are we talking about? We're talking about the mind of Christ. In unity. Grounded in biblical truth. Doing what concerns God. And loving others as ourselves. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you for this awesome, wonderful, holy, lovely, beautiful prayer from Jesus. Lord, help it to it be plain to us how we move forward together in unity as a church. Lord, guide us in your Son's name. Lord, this morning, we also lift up to you a few concerns. These are all health concerns. Lord, first we lift up to you our brother in Christ, Pastor John from Brandon, dealing with cancer and now hospitalized, dealing with infection, unable to get the chemo treatment to take care of the cancer that he needs. Lord, we pray for healing for him so he can get back on track and they can get the cancer in him taken care of. Lord, we also lift up Julene's sister, Bertie, who just turned 95. Lord, as she doctors and deals with some stuff, Lord, we lift her up in prayer to you too. And Lord, we also lift up to you our brother, Larry Navis. Lord, we thank you that surgery went well, and we pray for healing for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Whatever I do, whatever I feel, still 'tis God's hand.
While the praise team comes down, I'll invite the elders to come forward with me. Welcome to the Feast of the Lord. All who are baptized and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are invited to join in this meal. We come to the table not just as individuals, but as a community. By sharing the loaf and the cup, Christ makes us one with him and with each other. And please join with me for this responsive reading. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. With joy we praise you, gracious Father, for you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. And together, let us say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you, our Lord, for the hope this meal gives us, that Jesus will return as triumphant king, that the dead will be raised, and that all people will stand before his judgment. We face that day without fear, for you, our judge, are our Savior. May our daily lives of service aim for the moment when the Son will present his people to the Father, and God will be shown to be true, holy, and gracious. And now, as I promised earlier, let us rise together and say the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.